Thank you for joining us for today's Insight for Living Bible Teaching Broadcast. Here at Insight for Living Canada, we want to make sure you can catch the broadcast, even when the time isn't convenient for you. So we've developed a way for the broadcast to come to you by email. We call it Emailcast. Here's how it works. When you sign up at insightforliving.ca/emailcast, we'll automatically send you a daily email with links to that day's 30-minute Insight for Living, our 5-minute life track featuring some of Chuck's best stories, and our 1-minute Insights audio devotionals for those days when you're stretched for time. Visit insightforliving.ca/emailcast to subscribe to this free service. That's insightforliving.ca/emailcast.
In his biographical study on the life of Christ, Chuck Swindoll included several messages about the astonishing power of Jesus and his willingness to heal or not to heal. In doing so, Chuck made an emphatic clarifying statement. He said, "No matter our personal opinions about current day miracles," and I'm quoting now, "God is able to do whatever he pleases with whomever he chooses whenever he wishes." Let's keep that statement in mind as we continue. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck presents message number 9 in the series. It's titled, The Ultimate Healer.
Lord, we have sung to you this morning with our voices. In no other setting do we sing with other people, but in worship, it seems appropriate that we do that. Thank you for gifted composers who have used the ability you've given them to put theology into great words and to give those words a meter and rhythm and melody so that we can sing of our faith. All hail the power of Jesus' name. O come, let us adore him. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. He is worthy, worthy of our praise and worthy of our time and worthy of our prayers, worthy of our gifts. We're learning, our Father, in a world that's lost its way a long time ago. We're learning how to walk with you. And because we can't see you, whom having not seen, we love, in whom though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so we don't need to see you. Our faith kicks in and we rely on the evidence of your word to instruct us in who you are and what we're to believe. May your word become for us today more important than the opinions of people. May we be freed from the manipulation of politics and the nonsense of human will. And may we hear from the pristine word of God that is alive and active and sharp and penetrating, exposing the sins of our secret world and bringing us to our knees in humility and trust. May we in this little gathering of believers learn afresh and anew what it is to be lost in wonder and love and praise. May our relationship with one another be sweet. Father, guard us from the enemies that selfishness always brings. May we be freed from the clutches of my will and my way so that we blend our lives into your will and your ways. Be for us the object of our affection and the subject of our attention. Deliver us from man worship as we learn to consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be weary and lose heart. Give healing of heart to those who have been scarred from the past, and give relief to the worried, and a fresh touch from the Spirit of God to those who stumble into this place scarred by sin. We come to worship, in whose name we pray. And everybody said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the Bible with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures guide by going to insightforliving.ca/studies. And now the message from Chuck titled, The Ultimate Healer.
When we get into the New Testament, in the book of Acts chapter 3, we find two of God's spokesmen about the ministry of the gospel. Acts 3, their names are Peter and John. They are going to the temple for the purpose of worshiping, and on their way, they come upon a man who is born lame. Peter, verse 4, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him. He admitted, "We do not have the money that you may want from us, but what we do have is a knowledge of the power of our God. And in his name," and I'm assuming they prayed, "according to his will, rise up." The man rose up and he began to walk. Verse 8, he leaped as he walked with them into the temple. He's grasping at these men. Verse 11, he's clinging to Peter and John. Of course, naturally he would be drawn to them. Please observe the response. Verse 12, when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you gaze at us? As if by our own power or piety, we made him walk." Verse 16, on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. God does not blame a lack of healing on someone. That's done commonly in our day. Some lack of faith, some lack of sincerity, some misapplied motive. When God steps in and heals, it is immediate and it is permanent. Now, before we turn to James chapter 5, I want to give you some things to write down. I want to give you the 5 spiritual laws regarding physical healing. Number 1, there are 2 categories of sin, original and personal. Original sin is described in Scripture in the singular. It's called the sin nature. Romans 5, verse 12, whereas through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. That's the original sin. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's sins, plural. That's a good way to differentiate. We have original sin, and because we have original sin, we commit acts of sins. Number 2. Original sin introduced suffering, disease, and death. Romans 5:12, wherefore through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all, for all have sinned. Law number 3, sometimes there is a direct link between personal sins and sicknesses. I recall Paul's words to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11:30. For this cause many are weak and sickly, and some of you are dead. Some of you sleep. The Corinthians came to the Lord's table in a carnal manner, and because of this, God judged the assembly, and sickness came, and illness, and finally some even died. Law number four, you already anticipate this one. Sometime there is no relationship between the two. John chapter 9, there's a man born blind, and the disciples ask Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus says, neither one. This blindness is for the glory of God. By the way, this is a good time to insert a comment. Guard yourself from ever blaming someone's sins for their sicknesses. You don't know. If you know that, you're God. And the last time I checked, there's only one. And that's the God of heaven. We never know the reason people are suffering. Don't even hedge a guess, lest you leave them disillusioned or filled with shame inappropriately. Sometimes there's no link. Now, in David's case, there was. He sinned as a result of the adultery with Bathsheba, the motive of murder for killing Uriah, her husband, and as a result, he talks in Psalm 32 about the anguish of his condition. He was in a fever heat. I imagine he lost weight. He lost appetite. He lost the desire to lead. David is a pathetic example of a king and as a leader caught in the backwash of his immorality. And he admits to that in Psalm number 32. It wasn't until he confessed it that God gave him healing. It was a direct link in that case, but not always. Sometimes there's no relationship. Law number five, get this one if you forget all the others. It is not God's will that everyone be healed. You will never hear an alleged divine healer tell you that. It is not God's will that everyone be healed. That erroneous teaching got started from a misunderstanding of Isaiah 53:5, by his scourging, we are healed. And you will hear said in groups that are mixed up on this, there's healing in the atonement. When you check the context of Isaiah 53, you will discover it is the healing of the soul. It is the cleansing of the life. Because of Jesus' scourging, suffering, and death on the cross, and his subsequent resurrection, bodily and miraculously from the grave, there is the ability for those who believe in him to say, I am cleansed, I am healed from sin. No longer does sin have domination over me. No longer am I just the subject of Satan's power. When you come to Christ through the Lord Jesus, you receive healing in your souls so that you're no longer victimized by your original nature of sin or by your acts of sinfulness. It is not God's will that everyone be healed. Examples, Philippians 2:25-27, Epaphroditus ministered to Paul when he was almost dead, sick unto death. Philippians 2:25-27. Here's another name you wouldn't be familiar with, Trophimus. 2 Timothy 4:20, Trophimus, Paul said, I left him sick at Miletus. Why wasn't he healed if it's God's will that everyone be healed? He left him sick. He may have died sick. You know the classic example? The thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12:7, 8, 9, 10. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. Paul had this sharp, penetrating, throbbing pain called a thorn in the flesh. Alfred Plummer, a reliable New Testament scholar, writes of this thorn, it's a very vivid metaphor for intense physical suffering. Bishop Lightfoot interprets the expression as a stake driven through the flesh. William Barclay writes, by far the most likely thing is that Paul suffered from chronically recurrent attacks of a certain virulent fever, which haunted the coast of the eastern Mediterranean. The natives of the country, when they wished to harm an enemy, prayed to their gods that he should be burnt up with this fever. One who has suffered from it describes the headache that accompanies it like a red-hot bar thrust through the forehead. Another speaks of the grinding, boring pain in one's temple. The phantom wedge driven in between the jaws, and says that when the thing became acute, it reached the extreme point of human endurance. Paul said, Lord, heal me of this. Bring relief from these headaches. Take this stake, this thorn away from me. And the Lord said to him three separate occasions as he brought it to him three separate times, no, no, no. Now I ask you, if it's God's will that everyone be healed, wouldn't he have healed his classic evangelist, his most prominent spokesman in the first century? Surely he would have said, yes, Paul, I hear your prayers. No one has ever come to me with more faith and passion. I relieve it of you right now. But he doesn't. No, no. And Paul says, as a result, I have found that his grace is sufficient. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I think Paul was a better preacher because of his afflictions, not less of one. Who are we to say, in any case, it is God's will that this affliction, this sickness, this terminal death be removed from you? You don't know that. You're not God. If it is the Father's will, it will happen. And he does not need our help in pulling off his will. May we forever remember he is the potter, we are the clay. I realize, turn now to James chapter 5, I realize this is a very delicate subject. And I care more than you may think I care that you hear what I'm saying and not turn it off because of some side comment or some anchor you have and some individual who has abused you with the scriptures in years past. I don't want to do that. I want to take you to the scriptures and I want you to read from the manual of faith. I want you to form your opinion about life from the theology of the Word of God. I am an expositor. I believe the teaching of the Scriptures is what we need most of all in the assembly of the righteous today. I believe by taking the Word of God and communicating from the Scriptures, people are instructed and equipped to live the life God designed for us to live. And my life is committed to that. I have no interest in taking advantage of anybody. I want to clarify. I want to free you to a life of trust in the living God and free you from the power of people's opinion and certainly from erroneous teaching. Speaking of which, a friend of mine on email sent me the Winston-Salem Journal reported in February 1995 on an evangelist in North Carolina, who describes himself as one of the few in his profession who specializes in saving people with tooth trouble. He sends this to me. He said he has had the God-given power since 1993 to straighten teeth, end toothaches, and replace lead and mercury fillings with those of gold, silver, and pearl. There's a great Greek word for that. Hogwash is the word. That is nonsense. He hasn't such power. Believe me, he doesn't offer that free of charge. God's power comes free of charge. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you. And this man stood up and walked and never had to pay one shekel. God delivers from disease and death without charge. Praise be to his name. Now in James chapter 5, apparently there were some situations that James knew of as he writes this letter to his friends who were scattered abroad in the diaspora, the dispersion. These people are living, if you will, deported, feeling disenfranchised, away from home, displaced is a good word. And some of them had fallen ill, and they were concerned about, obviously, what they should do. So James instructs them in his letter. Verse 13, chapter 5, for the sake of time, we race to that part in the midst of a context of needs. James 5:13, is anyone among you suffering? Kakopatheo is the word. I give it to you only so you'll know that I've checked it and I have found that this Greek word has reference to a general condition of being in distress. It can mean emotional distress. It can mean suffering from evil influence. It can mean enduring an affliction of any kind. There's a general category of kakopatheo, and he says, pray. Isn't that interesting? Doesn't promise any deliverance. I forgive me if this is wrong. Lord, forgive me if this is not correct instruction. But I think in some cases we pray and simply endure and never get free of it. Is any of you suffering? Pray. Pray for the ability to sustain through it. Pray for the wisdom to find someone who can help you, maybe as a counselor. Pray for direction. Pray for endurance. Pray for patience. Pray for relief from irritation. Pray. Just pray. Just pray, as if that's not much. I know some people who sustain their lives by prayer. Paul did that with a thorn. And then he goes to the other end of the pole and he says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Now, for some reason, Christians are hesitant to do that. They think if I'm cheerful, there's going to be another shoe that's going to fall. So I shouldn't gloat over it. It's not gloating that you praise. If things are going well for you, let it out. You know, take a motorcycle ride. Whatever. Sing, shout, dance. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4, there's a time to laugh and there's a time to dance. Hey, dance. Leap for joy. It's cheerful time. It's good. It's a time to be happy. And then he races to the other side. Is anyone asthenes? Not kakopatheo here. This is another word. This is a much more detailed term. Asthenes means to be without strength physically, to be debilitated, feeble in body. Sometimes it refers to individuals unable to get up and walk. The man in Acts 3 was asthenes. He was really sick. He couldn't locomote. He couldn't move him out without help. This is a person stuck in bed or in a chair. This is a person debilitated physically. What does he do? He is never told to go to a divine healer. Never. Here or anywhere else. Now think straight, men and women. Train your mind to go to the scriptures and then form your opinion from your study here and elsewhere. What do we do in this case? Well, what do we do? Is anyone among you asthenes? I find some steps given here. First, let him call for the elders of the church. The word call means to summon. I take it that it is a responsibility of the sick to let the church elders know that someone in the home is sick. We don't have a crystal ball. We cannot keep up with all the needs of a flock of any size, to say nothing of a flock this size and growing. So it's the responsibility of the sick to make the sickness known when it reaches the point that it's getting pretty critical. You're not able to get around. Okay? What do the elders do? Remember, this is first century teaching in a first century context. So let's think first century thoughts. There weren't many physicians. It often fell the responsibility of the elders to do some of the work of what we would call practical medicine. I'm suggesting a case in point here. Read with me. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Stop there. When the elders get the summon, they go. And the main verb in the last part of verse 14 is pray. Let them pray. But there is a participle that precedes the action of the main verb. How's that for pedantic? Let me just stay with me. I want you to know we've done our homework here. Having anointed him with oil, let them pray. Having anointed him with oil, they then pray. So we need to know what anointing means. This is a word, alipho, which means to apply oil, to rub oil, to daub, if you will. Alipho was used frequently in medical treatises. So it turns out that what James required by the use of oil, hear this, was the use of the best medical means of the day. James simply said to rub oil on the body and pray. In this passage, he urged the treating of sickness by medical means accompanied by prayer. The two are to be used together, neither to the exclusion of the other.
Well, make a mental note of this point in Chuck Swindoll's message, because we'll pick up right here on tomorrow's edition of Insight for Living. You'll want to join us when Chuck explains what Scripture teaches about divine healing, not only in New Testament times, but also in the way God works in 2024. Chuck titled today's message, The Ultimate Healer. It's just one small portion of the larger 20-part series on Jesus called The Greatest Life of All. To purchase all 20 CDs, give us a call or go online to insightforliving.ca. Well, at the start of a new year, many of us select a couple of life-giving books to read. So let me suggest you add this one from Chuck Swindoll to your list. It's the one he wrote in conjunction with his teaching series. It's also called Jesus, The Greatest Life of All. To purchase a copy, call 1-800-663-7639. Well, if you're among those who support Insight for Living Ministries, we are profoundly grateful. And we want you to be encouraged by this note from a grateful listener who's been impacted by your giving. She said, "Chuck, today is the third anniversary of my husband's passing. I just read your devotional about the three-year drought and God promising rain, and it just fits so perfectly with my situation. I've experienced a three-year drought of sorts, but I believe God is with me and will send rain soon. Thank you for your messages." Well, on behalf of this listener and countless others just like her, we want to thank all those who give generously. As a result of your contributions, relationships have been restored as people experience and share God's gift of grace. To give a donation today, write to us at Insight for Living Canada, Post Office Box Number 8, Station A, Abbotsford, BC, V2T6Z4. You can also call 1-800-663-7639 or go online to insightforliving.ca. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us when Chuck Swindoll continues his message called The Ultimate Healer, Thursday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Ultimate Healer, was copyrighted in 1999, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.